This is WFAE News. I'm Gwendolyn Glenn. Superintendent Clayton Wilcox's two-year stint leading Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools came to an abrupt and perplexing end this summer. Just months after giving Wilcox a raise and contract extension, the school board suspended him. He resigned shortly after it, and neither he nor the board has explained the reason. Today, the Charlotte Observer reports that Wilcox had a history of making remarks that some employees considered insensitive to African Americans, Koreans, Mexicans, and women. WFAE education reporter Ann Doss Helms has covered Wilcox's CMS career from start to finish. She joins us now to talk about these allegations and what's going on with this.
The Observer's story is attributed to unnamed sources high in the administration and to a whistleblower letter from a former chief academic officer. They report that Wilcox did things like joking about an African-American staffer feeding her kids Pop-Tarts and Kool-Aid, calling a female employee who was working on the school calendar "my little calendar girl," and saying in a meeting that he would, quote, "go Korean on you" if anyone leaked information. The reports come despite the fact that Wilcox built a reputation as an advocate for children of color and children of poverty. In 2018, he choked up when he delivered a report on the links between race, poverty, and academic disadvantage.
Many of our kids are really suffering from the impact of poverty and racism. And to step away from that would be criminal on our part.
So, Anne, does this report ring true with things you saw and heard?
Absolutely. Literally from his first day, he displayed this bizarrely awkward way of talking about sensitive subjects. They held a press conference to announce his hiring. He wasn't there. I reached him by phone and asked him about his Mexican heritage. He said, "Yes, but I don't have a Mexican name. I don't speak Spanish, and I've never lived in the barrio." And then he said, "I call myself a stealthy Mexican." And it was clear from the context he didn't mean it as a racist stereotype, but it really sounded like one. And he apparently kept using that phrase with his staff because it was one of the comments that was cited in the Observer report. Also, from fairly early on in his tenure, I was hearing from high-level staff about remarks like that. They weren't clear-cut slurs or harassment, but they made people uncomfortable. None of those sources were willing to go on the record, and I was kind of watching the board to see if they were going to do anything about it. Then they voted in January to give him a raise and benefits increase worth $37,000, and they extended his contract for 2 years, and I thought, well, they're okay with this.
So, Ann, was the board aware of these concerns by the staff?
Yes, although it's not clear how much they knew and how early. The Observer report says at least two senior administrators sent complaints to at least some board members. The Observer got a copy of one of those letters from then-Chief Academic Officer Brian Schultz in February of 2018. I talked to Board Chair Mary McRae this afternoon, and she gave Schultz credit for being, quote, the bravest of them all because he spoke up so early. She did say that many of the complaints were not reported at the time because people don't want to speak up about their boss while they're still working for him. She said that Schultz's letter was the first indication they got, and she confirmed that she held a coaching session with Wilcox but didn't take any formal discipline. Mary McRae wouldn't go on the air. She said she was afraid of violating state personnel law or the separation agreement, but she said, quote, "we talked about it, and we were told it would not happen again, but evidently it did."
And as you said earlier, we didn't hear why he was suspended. Do you think all of this is the reason his career here ended?
Well, again, Mary McRae wouldn't say on that. The Observer noted that after Wilcox got the raise, and not long before he got suspended, some high-ranking African-American women left CMS, including Project Lift Superintendent Denise Watts and West Charlotte High Principal Tamisha Barnes-Jones. When I talked with McRae, she made a point of saying it wasn't just black women who were leaving. She said twice that, well, white men and white women were leaving too, and she noted that Watts and Barnes-Jones both went on to good jobs. But again, she wouldn't say if any of this led to his departure. It's also worth noting that I served on a panel with Ernest Winston, who took Clayton Wilcox's place. And I said something like, "I know you won't tell me what was behind Dr. Wilcox's departure, but I gotta try." And what Ernest Winston said was, "What I can tell you is it matters how you treat people."
Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
WFAE education reporter Ann Doss Helms.